Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gellner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. We are just a few weeks away from my Ignite conference. I am super excited and the countdown is on. If you are feeling called to create a bigger vision for your business in 2023 and want to step into 2023 grounded in your inner fire dancer light with new insights and breakthrough thinking for your business, I invite you to join us. We have a world-class lineup of speakers, and we will be raising up the voice, visibility, and businesses of influential women from around the globe with new business strategies for our new world. All the details are available at CamiGellner.com/ignite. Join us. Be there. Let's light up your 2023. I would love to see you there. Now, let's meet this week's guest, Tanya Basalo. I love this interview. Tanya is the founder of The Courage to Be Happy, a community of independent spiritual women entrepreneurs who want to learn more about money so they don't depend on anyone else financially. Born to a Spanish father, an American mother, and raised in Spain at the end of a dictatorship, she was constantly in search of freedom. Tanya is on a mission to support and teach all independent women entrepreneurs the mindset, tools, and strategies to grow their money from a easy, practical, and spiritual perspective. Let's meet Tanya Basalo. Well, Tanya, welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am thrilled to have you join me today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I've been reading through all of your stuff, and I'm just so excited to hear your stories. You grew up in Spain at the end of a dictatorship, and you talk about how that really helped you become an entrepreneur and it kind of guides you today. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I think for me growing up in Spain, so I'll just clarify, I was born and raised in Spain, but my dad's Spanish, my mom's American. So I'm a mix. And growing up in Spain, I had a great childhood, but the country was, you know, it's still a very patriarchal country and things were changing in the late 70s, early 80s. And I think deep down there was this, yearning for freedom, even though there wasn't, I didn't feel like this oppression, you know, like it wasn't very visible, but there was some unspoken language of like, boys have it better.
Yeah. The energetics of that.
Mm-hmm. You could feel it. And I don't think I felt it for the first time until I came to study my sophomore year in high school in the States. I came to Ohio. I stayed with my uncle and aunt here. And suddenly, you know, there were a lot more freedoms that I wasn't experiencing at school, you know, like just the, even certain schools in Spain, you know, it's like 99% Catholic country. So, and coming out of the dictatorship, like at my first school at St. Michael's, there was no choice. You had to study catechism, you know, like that you had it, whether you liked it or not. Or just to give you an example, and I haven't shared this much. When I was born, my parents gave me the name Tanya. And when they went to the registry to, you know, register their newborn child, they said, Tanya's not a Catholic name. You need to add a Catholic name to that. So my middle name is Maria. These undertones that as you're growing up, you start realizing like, oh, so you didn't want to give me that name. It was kind of imposed on me by the government, by the, you know, society, by the way it was set up. Another one was this is having to study catechism. I think that's how you say it in English, right? Just the Catholic classes. But it wasn't until I don't know, my next school, there was a lot more liberal of a school that you had an option to choose either ethics class, ethics and morale, or catechism, you know, so that was like a
mind blowing.
Yeah. And it's choice. Funny that I'm even saying that right now, you know, I'm like, oh my God, that makes no sense. Like we were forced to study a certain religion in the country, you know, like there were no options for that. So, but again, I wasn't really, I didn't really notice that. Like I said, I had a great childhood. Right,
you knew. I mean, you just knew that was the way life was and you didn't really think of it.
Yeah, you felt certain things. But when I did come to the States and I saw that in a public high school, you know, they could choose whatever classes they wanted. I could excel in those classes, even with English being my second language. I was just like, oh, well, this feels kind of nice. You know, here I am in Spain trying to work my butt off to get A's in classes. And, you know, some of them I'd get A's, but other ones I'd get a B. And when I'd come to the States, you'd work hard and you'd get straight A's. You know, I had a 4.0 GPA. And so these little things you started noticing of like, wow, we don't have, when you get to live in a different culture and in a different country, you start comparing and you're like, wow, we don't have this over there, but we have this other thing. We don't have that. So I think there was always, that's where I believe, I mean, I think my spirit has just always been looking for freedom, but that was like a turning point, like the first turning point of like, oh, I want to do things my way. I want to, and there's an option to do it my way. So yeah, from there, I came my last 2 years of college, I studied in the States. And since my mom's American, I promised myself that I would not date any Americans because I was not going to do the same thing my mom did, which was leaving her country and her culture, because she's now been there for over 50 years. And I'm like, I will not date any Americans. I'm coming back to Spain. This is my country. This is my culture. And I did. I finished my 2 years in college, went back to Spain for 4 months and realized that I wanted to do a master's degree in art direction. And the only way to do that was in Miami. No one was supporting me with that because they thought I just wanted to go party there. And but you can get student loans here in the States and I'm an American citizen. So I, again, chasing that freedom and those dreams, I felt like the States provides you more of those options of you dream and if you work towards it, you can achieve it. Spain didn't feel as much like that. You could work really, really hard, but there was no guarantee that you were going to get the dream. I feel like in the US, you work hard, you work hard, you work hard, and you can achieve those dreams. So came to the States and studied, my career started in art direction and advertising. And then I went to work in New York City for multi-million dollar accounts like Starbucks and Samsung and AT&T and Nabisco and stuff. But I felt a little bit constrained again in corporate. The advertising world gave me wonderful things. But it just, there was still that missing freedom, you know, and even that job I had, you didn't have to clock in at 9 and leave at 5, but there were certain things that I just, my spirit was longing for. And so that was the first time when I left corporate. My husband was also an art director and we both left corporate and we launched our studio. We offered all kinds of branding, creative services. And on top of that, to make things harder, we went back to Spain to do that. Lo and behold, I did marry an American and I ended up staying in the States. So everything that I was going to do opposite to my mom, I ended up finding a way to follow some of that.
But you followed the freedom. And this is what I'm hearing there is you kept following the lightness. And so that journey, so you started an agency together.
Mm-hmm.
What happened with that?
So we started it in Spain and we worked in the film industry. We offered, you know, we did marketing and photography for the film industry. Then we had some other clients. But when you have two creatives running a business without any business training, it's not bound to succeed. Let's just put it that way. Now in hindsight, you know, we did that for several years. We did it in Spain for a little bit. Then we came back to the US and we moved to Santa Fe, New Mexico. This is where I'm based right now. And we ran it here for a while, but it was a lot of that feast and famine. You know, some months were great And we're like, yay, we landed that client. And then other months we're like, oh my God, we're going to have to go get another job. Our savings is just like dwindling. There's nothing left there. And at one point, my husband decided that he no longer wanted to do the agency. You know, he's like, I don't think I want to do this. I think I just want to focus on my art, which was great because, you know, when you just have a calling and you know that you're meant for something bigger, like I just knew that that wasn't the right fit.
It wasn't the fit for him.
For him. And even for me, because I was like, soul searching started at that point because I was like, well, what do I do now? Like, that's great that he's identified what he wants to do. I know I don't want to work together as a couple, you know, in this agency, but what am I doing now? Because I also had a life coaching certification. I had, I'd worked as a professional photographer. I had worked in marketing. Like I had all these degrees. And I think a lot of people can identify with this, you know, the multi-passionate woman that has a gazillion degrees and certifications, but it's like, what do I do with all this now? And what do I want to focus on? So at this point, that, like I said, there was a lot of soul searching, just kind of understanding where I was in my life. Why was I born in Spain? Why was I born to a Spanish father and American mother with the opportunity to be able to live in the U.S.? Why did I end up marrying an American man that gave me also the opportunity to be here where I felt there was more freedom?
Even why did you land in Santa Fe, right? Which is kind of some magical ground there.
Yeah, that's interesting that you asked that. When Ben and I, my husband and I, were thinking about coming back to the U.S., the negotiating started, you know, like, where should we move? Because him and we've lived in seven different cities. We've lived in Miami. We've lived in New York City. We've lived in Maine. We've lived in suburbs of Philly, Minneapolis for a couple months, like Coruña, Spain, it was just all over. So we really had to get clear to what were our values. What were we looking for at this stage in our lives? We knew we didn't want to be back in a big city like Manhattan or Madrid or Miami. And we wanted something smaller. We wanted something with nature and we wanted something with all art and culture. So we narrowed it down to Asheville, North Carolina, which would be closer to his family as well as my family because he's from Philly. And then Santa Fe popped into our minds because we'd been here on a vacation and I don't know, the year 2000 or something like that. And we're like, Santa Fe, but that's so far away. And that summer he was supposed to go to Asheville and Santa Fe to check it out and just see what we felt. And it ended up, he never made it to Asheville. And he called me last minute and said, why don't you come to Santa Fe with me just to verify and see if this is where we really want to move. And that's how we ended up here. And it's been great. We've been here for 11 years and I feel like it's the first place that we've kind of set roots. You know, we bought a home, we had a daughter, we've been here the longest. You know, I don't know if it'll be forever because I don't trust forevers anymore. But it definitely has been our home and it feels very special here. And then we continued with the agency here. And this is where my husband decided he didn't want to do it. I did a lot of soul searching. I'm like, okay, we're living in the States. Why am I doing, you know, what do I want to do? How do I mix all these talents, all these skills that I have, all these certificates and degrees that I've acquired? And I ended up I launched The Courage to Be Happy. That was the name of the business. And I started working with women and teaching them how to create a successful brand. And simultaneously, I was learning about business and applying all these new business systems and stuff. I started putting them in place and my business started doubling every year. It started, and I was only working 20 hours a week with a little baby because my daughter was only 2 years old. And other women started asking me, like, what kind of systems are you putting in place? What are you doing? How come you're succeeding with it? So then suddenly I found myself not only teaching about branding, but teaching about business and business strategy. And in the process of business strategy, I started learning about money because business is about exchange of money. You're exchanging value for money. And that was something that I was trying to kind of drill into my female clients, mine, you know.
What's their relationship with money?
Yeah. Like, we don't want to do sales. It sounds icky. I don't want to charge. We give things out for free.
Oh my.
And so there was a lot of mindset to work through. And parallel, I was submerging myself and learning about finances and about money. And yeah, I never
also
thought
come through some of that story too, from having the agency of the highs and the lows. So you'd experienced it yourself.
Correct.
You'd felt that yourself.
In the process of that, I had a class besides business strategies and stuff of money mindset, you know, like what are we thinking? How are we relating to money? And because I was going through my own healing process with money, with patriarchy, with growing up in a country, not only just the country, but my family, my dad's 7 brothers and 1 sister. And so it's all these men that have been all successful while the women have been more subservient to them, because that's part of the generation. That's part of the culture. That's part of how what's been programmed into all of us. And that search for freedom, I'm like, but it doesn't have to be that way. Why? Right. Why can't I be as successful as them? And why can't women be as successful as them? And let me learn about the stock market. You know, like, I'm seeing my husband succeeding with his investments in the stock market. And I'm like, I want to learn about that. So I started learning about stock market. Then I started learning about cryptos. Now my new thing is I want to learn about real estate investment. And I was doing good with all these things. So in my own process of healing my relationship with money, in my own process of curiosity and wanting to learn more, I started bringing other people along. And that's kind of become my mission, is just that purpose and that soul searching that I was looking for. It all kind of started coming into focus. I just realized, I'm like, if I've been needing this, you know, and I consider myself that I've been very lucky, the educational opportunities, the travel, the circumstances where I've been born, where I've lived, everything. I need to transmit this to other women, because if I've, you know, with all the luck that I've had, I've still had issues and I still have things to work through. There has to be a ton of other women out there that are going through the same thing.
This is the biggest thing, right? I think it's one of the biggest things that most women and entrepreneurs will run into is that relationship with money and breaking through. And I've done my own deep work in that space, so I totally get it. So this has become your mission, and you have a beautiful approach to this. So tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, I think the main thing is becoming aware as to where you're at in your path. Question yourself about your beliefs regarding money. You know, a lot of times I invite everyone to question their beliefs about everything, because we've just been, all of this stuff has just been passed down to us. Like the religion that we started in this conversation, like, question your religious beliefs. You know, like, why do you believe that? Was it because it was passed down through, you know, ancestry? And do you really believe it? Or do you believe in something different? Question your beliefs about money. Do you believe that because it was passed down to you by ancestry, by your parents or your caretakers or the media and the culture? Or do you believe something different? Or could you even believe something different? What do you believe about your health, you know, and where did that come from? So I think the first place for all of this is just becoming aware as to where you're at. And then the second part would be questioning all those beliefs and then asking yourself the question, are they serving me? Because if they're serving you, then awesome. If it's supporting you in your life and having everything that you desire and want, beautiful. If it's not, then there's something that needs to be worked on, that needs to be healed. So, that's where I'm at right now, is to work with other women and having, you know, take them a little bit through that same process that I went through, for them to realize their innate power. You know, I do believe that we live in an abundant universe. I do believe we're all powerful beyond our imagination. And how do we tap into all that to get all the things that we're meant to have in this lifetime, you know, everything that we desire.
Yeah. So it's such a beautiful journey of listening and seeking that you've come through. And now how it's really evolved into how you're serving. And I think that that journey of stepping into really clarity around, you're working with women and their abundance and their prosperity from a spiritual perspective and from a feminine perspective. And what does that look like? How do women really tap into prosperity and abundance from a feminine perspective?
Yeah, that's such a great question, because we're still under patriarchal ways of thinking, being, you know, just the programming.
It's shifting. I feel the shift. And yes, we totally are.
It is shifting. But we have to be careful too in that shift that we don't swing the pendulum to the complete opposite. Because what I've also seen is a lot of women, so we all have this masculine and feminine energy within us. It's the yin and yang, you know. It's not about women versus men. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about this combination of energies that we all have within us. And the feminine has always been more associated to, in my point of view, collaboration versus competition, that might be more of a male dominated way, creation versus pushing and strategizing and going, and you know, it's just kind of like, yeah. And you need both.
You do.
That's what I'm saying. Let's not swing the pendulum to the side. And we watch the movie, The Secret, and we're all into the law of attraction. And we're like, oh, I'm just going to sit back.
Yeah. Doesn't
and
work
the
that
money's
going
to come to me, and I'm not going to do anything. Cause that's a very easy place to go to. Also, it's like easy in the sense of like, oh, well, then I won't do anything, you know? So it's not about that. It's how do you find that balance, you know, of the feminine and the masculine, and say, oh, it's time to sit back and receive and listen and gestate, kind of like when you make a baby, you know, it's like,
yeah,
you just sit and you let it happen. There's no doing. We're not sitting there making hands and brains and feet or anything else. You know, it's just, it's happening.
But there's a lot of work, inner work going on inside, right? I think that's a nice analogy to look at it from that perspective, is how much inner work is happening within that.
And so, yeah, I think it's a combination. And then just being cautious of not going from one side to the other, you know, of all feminine energy or all masculine energy. And also as we're doing the shift, you know, with more of a feminine energy, that we are not, because I also see a lot of successful women entrepreneurs that are still playing with the male rules.
Oh, totally.
You know, mm-hmm. of patriarchal rules. And that I'm not saying with male, I mean men, like the rules that they set up to serve them in business. And if we can tap into, yeah, women want to collaborate more. It's not so women want to give more. We are nurturers by nature. We are not here to, and it, I mean, just go back to hunter gatherers, you know, the men were out there hunting, killing the animals to bring for the community. The women were planting seeds, gathering together, taking care of the children together, raising the children to get together, making the food for the community. So if we can bring those kind of practices into business, instead of like, we still have to do it how men set it up to serve them better. That's where we also have to be careful as we're moving through and shifting in this, into new paradigms.
I've come through my own big journey on this area as well, from the perspective, you know, I came out of 20 plus years in the corporate world, oil and gas industry, that, you know, that even top it off, right? So really masculine in, industry. And it was in the software side of that. And so I was always in that kind of the driven corporate kind of space. And frankly, I never thought I would become an entrepreneur. That was just not something that I thought. And thank goodness, 14 years ago, it all kind of shifted and, you know, took me into this whole new world that I, you know, just had no idea around. I had no idea how to tap into the spiritual side of it. I had no idea to, you know, I mean, I knew you know, even my experiences in the corporate world were very, the women that were there, they weren't always necessarily collaborative. There wasn't, you know, that everybody was driving on the masculine energy side of it. And so I did really discover this whole world of the feminine energy. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is pretty amazing. And so that dance between both sides of it, and I think that comes down to one of, you know, one of the things that really works for me is because I get the strategy side of it. I get the doing side of it. I know how to do that so well. And I have to practice to stay in the feminine side of it and practice just, to, you know, the being side of it. And so that was a huge, big evolution for me, you know, when I first started my business, was to be able to dance those two pieces together. And the whole relationship with money part of it definitely was like learning a whole new language for myself that I had to, you know, really come to a big shift for myself, you know, through that journey. And I think so many women entrepreneurs run into that. It's like, okay, there's, if you're in a space of scarcity or a lack, or, you know, ups and downs, and you know, you're going to run through every emotion. It's like, oh my gosh, there's plenty. And then there's not. And so learning to move through that was one of my biggest journeys in my life. And I definitely incorporate a lot of the money work with my clients because I know it is such a big journey. So I love that this is your focus. And you know, you talked a little bit about this, our stories of how we relate to money. And, you know, I can go back to stories that were like, you know, you work hard, right? You work really hard and you get stuff done, right? And so what do you say to those of us that have that energy of, I'll just work harder? I've worked with that story a lot in my life already, but I know a lot of people have that story. So tell us a little bit about how you work with stories like that.
It is. It's one of the major money blocks. I see like very typical money blocks, or in this case, like you're calling them, our money stories that we've bought into. And it's all about, again, becoming aware and seeing where this programming came from. You know, it's psychologists say that our conscious mind is not formed until age 7 or 8. So everything's being dumped into our subconscious mind from ages 0, from the moment we're born until 7 or 8. So again, these are the questions you want to ask yourself. Like, why do I believe that you have to work hard for money? And I would ask you that question, Cammy, you know, like, where did that come from?
Yeah, I know exactly where it came from because I did all the work behind it, right? It's like, I went back and I got it from my dad. It's like, you know, I got it from, you know, those. And when I started to change that story up, it was like, what if it was easier? And it started to feel easier. And, you know, the doer side of me would always come in and get the stuff done and not be, you know, I could depend on that. But it was a lot more work for me to find new stories around that.
I think the most important is, like you're saying, is becoming aware, because once you're aware of it, you can catch it and you can correct and you can, and it's an ongoing process. Believe me, money mindset and healing your relationship with money is not a one-stop shop.
Yeah,
money
agree.
Touches everything in this world. And so it's, if you've been programmed and you've been believing this for 40 years, 50 years, 20 years, whatever the number is, that's already 20 years that you've been believing this. So it's going to take a little bit of time to detangle it. It's not going to be immediate. What I can say is it gets easier and easier and easier. Like you're saying that you said to yourself, what if it could be easier? I've caught myself, because I have that big money block too, you know, that belief of you have to work hard for money. It also comes from my dad. So it makes you wonder, you know, again, patriarchal lineage, these are the gifts that were given to us. Well, what if it doesn't have to be hard? And so what I invite anyone that has, for example, this particular belief, is to start looking for proof of the opposite. There's so many women out there and men that are, if that belief was true, if it was a fact, then people that are holding 2 and 3 jobs should be the richest people in the world. And they're not.
And they're not, right?
They're not. So you want to look for proof of the opposite. You know, if you believe that you have to work hard for money, okay, let's look for proof of the opposite. Oh my God, look at this woman. She's a seven-figure entrepreneur and she only works 20 hours a week. How's she doing that? Look at this other guy. He's also making 8 figures in his business and he only works 30 hours a week. And so you start looking for that evidence and you start feeding that to your subconscious mind so that it starts picking up on different beliefs. Because here's the thing, that our subconscious mind, we receive approximately 11 million bits of information per second. And all of that is going to the subconscious mind. I think that I don't know the number of how much the conscious mind filters, and it's in the hundreds or in the thousands. It's not even in the millions. So all that information your subconscious mind is filtering per second is based, the filter it has of that information, because we would go crazy if we get bombarded with all that information at once. The subconscious mind or the brain is trained to filter out what's not going to serve us. And how does it filter it out? Through the filter of whatever your beliefs are. And so if your belief is I have to work hard for money, then you are going to be looking for opportunities or moments or information that's going to prove that you have to work hard for money. So you want to start rewiring that part of the brain and saying, oh no, let me start looking and filtering out and looking through the lens that it's easy to make money and I don't have to work as hard. So you don't find yourself self-sabotaging, because I'm sure that's happened to you too, Cammie. Like it's happened to me, like when I launch and I'm doing like all these gazillion things and then I stop myself and I'm like, why am I complicating this?
Yeah, totally. It's so funny. I just came back from vacation for 10 days and I've got, I've got my big Ignite event coming up in November, and there's a lot of details that are going on around this time. Right. But I came back after 10 days of no computer to just such a fresher slate of what are the most important things. And I think that's some of the things that we can do when we take those breaks away. We can say, okay, what are the most important things? So we don't get into that frenzy. But I want to hit one last thing here before we wrap. I mean, I've got a couple of questions left, but I want to make sure, what are the top main money blocks that are holding women back from prosperity and abundance right now? And just kind of name those quickly.
Yeah, the top ones that I hear over and over is you have to work hard for money, like we just said. Money is the root of all evil, or some version of it. Because if it's not that, it's people with money are corrupt or people with money are bad. So you might make a ton of money, but if you believe that you're bad, it's going to go right out your hands, because you don't want to be a bad person. You don't want to be evil. You don't want to be corrupt. So you want to pay attention. So you have to work hard for money. Money's the root of all evil. I'm not good enough, or I'm not detailed enough, or I'm not good with numbers. So the underlying block is I'm not good enough, but you can fill it in with anything else. You know, whatever you were told growing up, you're not good at writing. You're not good at numbers. You're not good at running a business. You're not good at you're good at starting things, but that you don't finish them. The undertone is I'm not good enough. And the other one is I'm not deserving. I am not deserving of money.
So the trick is really to watch for when those thoughts come up and to really shift that, to look for different ways and say, where is this ridiculous? How is this ridiculous? And to shift those conversations up.
Yep. Yep. And keep working at it and pay attention too, to see how you're self-sabotaging with it. Because first is the money block. You uncover it, but then you subconsciously self-sabotage like that. Like you will create a lot of hard work for yourself, or you will come into money. Maybe you get an inheritance, or maybe you make a ton of money that year, or you get a big bonus and suddenly you self-sabotage because the car breaks down, or you get an IRS bill, or you get something else because you believe that money is the root of all evil, or people with money are bad. And so your subconscious is attracting something that's going to make you lose it all at once.
Yes. One of my favorite books that I've always loved is Tosha Silver's It's Not Your Money, because she totally changes up how you
you know, and catches you every time you're telling those kinds of stories. So she's been one of my favorites in that space.
That's awesome. Yes, yes, yes. It's so important to just keep on paying attention to
do the work,
how you're relating. Yep.
And do the work.
Awareness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So where can people learn more about you and your work?
Oh, thanks. I think the best place to kind of enter my world would be, I have a free guide called Women's Top Money Mistakes, and it's how to fix them. So you can find this guide at womenstopmoneymistakes.com. Again, it's womenstopmoneymistakes.com. And it's the perfect place to get started on your financial journey, you know, especially going into a recession now. And it's not a guide about budgeting and numbers and things like that, where it's all boring, because I'm coming more from a practical place, from a spiritual place. And it'll help you just become aware of where you're at, what you're doing well, what things you can improve, you know, so that you can start changing some things in your life. And I've had hundreds of women download this guide and gotten them to a place where they're not waking up in the middle of the night worrying about their money, because now they know that they're resourceful when a financial crisis hits or an obstacle hits, because it's going to happen. Like I said, this is an ongoing process. You know, obstacles are going to show up. Financial little crises are going to show up, or bigger crises. So you want to know and trust that you're resourceful enough. So anyway, I'm confident that if you do download the guide, you'll start feeling a little bit more that there's, you know, tapping into the abundance of the world and knowing that there is enough.
That's awesome. And I love that. So I highly encourage everyone to go grab that. One of the things I'll just add to that is from the perspective of, and you mentioned the recession, and I'm like, there's more people leaving the corporate world right now and starting their own business. And so many of us serve women entrepreneurs. And so when you think about the number of women who are doing the great resignation, and I think there was like 16 million people have left. No. 49 million people have left their jobs. 16 million of them are to start a new company. So we're really prime and ripe. And it happens so often in recessions is that people say, you know what, I'm going to go start my own thing. And they do, for whatever reason that they do that. And so this is an opportunity for us really to own that skill set around money and abundance, because there's opportunity for those of us who really keep our clean mindset around money. There's so much opportunity for us to grow, even during downtimes. I mean, I started my business back in 2008 when it was totally a downturn. And so I'm a big believer, and these are moments of opportunity for us as entrepreneurs as well.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. Don't they say that the Chinese character of crisis is the same? It's the same for crisis as it is for opportunity.
Ah,
and so
that's
cool. It is, you know, just thinking that we are in a point, like, don't listen again, the beliefs you can buy into the story of it's a recession and I'm going to not make money and I'm going to go poor and I'm going to go bankrupt. Or you can say it is a recession, and it's an opportunity for me to start something new. It's an opportunity to start on my financial journey. So yes, I agree 100%.
Totally. So the final question I always close with is, what are three pearls of wisdom would you like to share with us today?
Let's see what's coming to me. The first one is connect with your intuition. That's what's guided me this whole time. And that's part of reconnecting with the feminine part of it. And just connect with your intuition for your desires. And second, get curious, get out there, go learn about it. You know, especially as we were talking, you know, you want to start a new business, go learn about it. You want to learn about one, go learn, go just get curious. So connect with your intuition, stay curious, and just jump into this venture of wanting to learn more about money, you know, and just your relationship with it and healing with it. Because it's something that's totally doable. Money touches everything. Why not learn to co-create with it?
So good. So good. Well, Tanya, it's been so much fun. And thank you for all your good wisdom all throughout, all your stories. It's been a pleasure getting to know you. Hoping you'll make your way up to Colorado here for Ignite. That would be awesome and amazing. And it's been great to have you on the show today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
I hope you like this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to join the conversation in my Facebook group, Extraordinary Women Connect. This group brings together changemaker women entrepreneurs who want to elevate their business for impact. It is a place for powerful connections and collaborations. It is a place to be inspired, uplifted, and fired up for action. To learn more about my work that helps women entrepreneurs make heartfelt connections to mindful growth strategies, visit my website at cammygelner.com. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.